Hey everybody, welcome to summer. Hot. Amazon summer, prime day, hot on our heels, I guess. I think it's going to be 100 today where I am. So I have my list of things that go wrong before prime day. Maybe you have your list. I thought maybe we could compare notes a little bit because this year's a little bit different. There's more AI bot takedowns of listings than last year. I think that's a fair argument. But
sure.
Beyond that, there's also just less tolerance for abuse, I would say. I mean, abuse still happens, but sellers are better at reporting it. They know where to report it. They know how not to report it. Maybe that's the biggest difference from last year. People used to send these long screeds to abuse prevention teams and then open it, take one look at it and say, this is way too long. This is way too cumbersome. And they don't want to do anything with it. So they found an excuse to throw it away. Same as they do with reinstatement appeals, by the way. But I think sellers and brands are getting smarter. They're getting better at integrating their account managers, integrating ads managers. That's another big difference from last year. Ads managers seem way more hands-on with listing takedown issues than they were, you know, before.
Well, depends how much you spend on advertising, but yeah.
Yes. Well, we tend to have conversations with people who spend a lot on advertising. So what have I not mentioned that are obvious ones for people to look out for in the week or two before Prime Day? Because we're already kind of there.
So, I mean, last week we talked about variation misuse and we're seeing more takedowns on that. I am seeing kind of the usual removal of restricted products before Prime Day. Some of them are correctly flagged and some of them are incorrectly flagged, which is sort of the problem with using keyword tools to flag products, is that you end up with a good amount of false positives. So seeing that, and then we're seeing the usual abuse of category manipulation, where sellers are attacking each other by moving products into wrong categories. The usual to make it less viable, but also I'm seeing it, they're moving them to incorrect categories to get it flagged for compliance review.
So I had the category change part. That happens more than just peak selling days. I think that happens almost all the time now. But also the dimension changes, which a year ago...
People still doing that?
Yeah. A year ago, I don't think that was as well known. Now it's really well known. So it's less functional as an abuse tactic. But just that gives you a sense of things that might be changing right under your nose. I mean, like keyword abuse, keyword flag by adding illicit terms. That used to be unknown. And now that's widely known.
Yeah, I don't actually see that as much as I used to.
Because people caught up to it.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to think of everything Amazon may have caught up to, or things Amazon might have missed, things sellers might have missed, because heading into Prime Day days, I should say, anyone with solid black hat tactics is going to employ them in the very near future. So what can people do? I mean, aside from keeping an eye on ASIN contributions, obviously it's hard to know in advance sometimes if somebody has the ability to manipulate contributions on the vendor side. But what else can people do? Let's say, I mean, since you work on compliance stuff all the time, what can people do to prevent being asked for a certain compliance documentation right before Prime Day?
Because you can't really prevent it, but you can be ready for it.
Yeah. But I mean, what in the 2 weeks you've got before Prime Day, because you can't necessarily get your product all retested and have new ISO certified lab docs now. So what can you do to prevent compliance flags?
Right. So you can't really prevent it. I mean, there are things that you just shouldn't be doing because it might flag it. But I mean, if your product requires certain tests, then you should have those tests and you should have them ready and you should have them in the format needed if you do get asked for them. I have said this many times before and I will say it again. You should definitely have alert software set up so you can see if anybody does try to mess with your listing. Sometimes it's Amazon's own teams not actually messing with you, just doing things badly. So make sure you have alert software set up, because we do see a lot of like products get moved into the incorrect category. And then that category have testing requirements, which then gets flagged for a compliance review. So you need to check that. And then if you're selling a product that has requirements about what you can and cannot say about the product, I know that a lot of people are focused on selling as many things as they can. And so they tend to maybe put claims on their product that could get them in trouble. And I would recommend against that, because you're not going to sell anything if your product gets restricted for claims. So I would err on the side of caution in terms of claims around health products, claims around pesticidal product, or just claims around things being like sanitizing or antimicrobial, because those are pretty easy things, but it can take you out for a few days, and that's all you really need to lose Prime Day.
I have a theory. I mean, some of that doesn't come from brands trying to sell as much as possible on Prime Day. It comes from like they're working with an agency and maybe their relationship's teetering a little bit and they overreach with some of the keywords.
A marketing agency isn't necessarily schooled in compliance. But if you're selling that product, that's on you as the brand owner to know.
And if you're in the wrong category, you dispute that and you dispute it the right way and you get it fixed quickly. And you don't dispute it by opening seller support cases and talking to people who don't know and don't care.
Right. But the benefit of alert software is that you're potentially correcting the category before your product gets flagged for compliance requirements that don't apply to your product, as opposed to not noticing and waiting until your product is flagged for something that it isn't. It's a lot easier if you can fix the listing before it gets restricted or before you get a compliance request, rather than trying to fix it afterwards and trying to convince Amazon that this is all a mistake.
Oh, for sure. But I think some people aren't using the best alert software.
Right. That's why I'm telling them to get it.
I know. But I don't even know how many of them are on the market. I think some of the people I talk to say they are using stuff like that, and it just doesn't work well enough. But there's also, I think, a refreshing number of people telling me that before they get into the Prime Days of July, they want to make sure that they have anticipated attacks like appeals ready to dispute stuff, and maybe even writing most of them before, like they know what kind of attack they got last year and they base an appeal on that for this year in case the same kind of attack happens again.
To be honest, if I got attacked last year and I got attacked the same way this year, I wouldn't even be appealing. I'd be going straight to escalating.
Yes. So those are the kinds of appeals that, I mean, I've noticed, you know, we talk about a lot of negative trends that we see. This is a positive trend, is that people are starting to maybe listen to that or understand how much money they lost last year and appreciate it to the point where they've already gotten something in writing that's ready to go and they have some sense of where it needs to go. Maybe we're finally breaking through in terms of don't waste time with seller support cases, don't waste time with overseas account health team calls. Some of the basic steps maybe are falling away finally, and they understand that they're going to have to maybe modify something they've written to suit the situation if it's not identical to what happened last year. So that's good that I'm hearing about that in June, as opposed to the usual hair on fire panic stuff we get on July, insert date here, July 7th, because that's what recent years, you know, now it's a few days. We're heading into prime week. It's going to eventually be what, 6 or 7 days?
I don't know. I feel like eventually it's just going to be an entire month every
prime
6 months.
Month. Yeah. Yeah. Prime life. It's going to be just your life.
Yeah.
Your life is one big Prime Day. So that's what's good, is that people aren't coming to us, at least with me. Maybe you have different stories, but the last couple of weeks, people haven't come to me with random silly messages like Amazon's doing strange things to our listing. First of all, they're not blaming Amazon right out of the gate. I think they understand how listings and detail pages could be abused by competitors a little bit better, which is encouraging. But also, I don't get as many screwy messages saying we need to write to Amazon legal. This whole notion of legal. This is a legal issue. We're going to hire lawyers. That's all fallen away after, you know, kind of 2 years of gibberish about that. So that's encouraging as well.
Yeah. I mean, I also think it's like maybe a little bit early. We're not that close to Prime Day yet. I'm sure we will start getting those messages as we get closer to Prime Day, as happens every year.
Yeah.
But yes, and to be fair, I do actually see Amazon's teams missing with listings. So not intentionally, like it's not an attack. They just, you know, wrong information ends up somewhere or something, like a variation gets messed up because of something an internal team did. Sometimes the AI team. So it isn't necessarily always competitor attack.
Of course. It's still June and Amazon does lots of listing cleanup in June every year. They're doing it again this year. And we talked about that, I think, a little bit last week, and I'm sure we'll talk about more of that next week, because I think some sellers that approached us were trying to fix listing takedowns and really using basic appeals or really obvious, you know, mistakes. And they probably could have just understood that this is listing cleanup season for Amazon and maybe Amazon made some mistakes and a quick dispute could have fixed it. But you lose days and you lose time and you lose Amazon's attention when you don't handle this stuff properly the first time.
So I don't know about your stuff, but for my stuff, it's actually more difficult when you have to dispute something than when you're appealing something.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the account level, when you're suspended for, say, a restricted product flag, the people who are reviewing your appeal or your dispute don't actually know about compliance and restricted product.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier to get them to approve a plan of action when they ask for one than it is to get them to approve a dispute, which is why it's really good if you can catch the problems before Amazon catches the problems, because yeah, disputing to somebody who doesn't understand the content is a bit of a slog.
So I think people need to kind of create their own list of potential things that could go wrong and to do it now while we're still in the month of June before we roll into the days right before Prime Day, where some attacks will be different than other attacks. Some are designed to hit you the night before because it might only take you 24, 36, 48 hours to fix it, and they don't do it now. They wait until it's right before the event. Other things they think will take a week or two to fix, or they think once you fix it, they'll go right back to damaging it again. So some of those things will be happening in the next handful of days, or maybe you're already seeing signs of it when you're listening to this. So I have two different categories of attacks. I mean, like the dimensions one is the best example because that can be fixed pretty quickly, right?
Yeah.
And the category thing, I think people are getting better at fixing that faster.
I don't know. I still see people get stumped when someone moves just the parent ASIN to a different category, because that's hard to spot. If you don't know what you're looking for, it just something's wrong and you can't figure out what it is. Particularly if they move the parent to, say, like the mobile app category, because then suddenly your product is only available for purchase on phones and not on desktop. And if you haven't seen that before, it can be difficult to figure out what's going on. So, if things are happening that don't really make sense, sometimes it is just an Amazon glitch and sometimes it is a form of attack. That was one that we saw like years and years and years ago. And then it seems to be back this year.
And the only other thought I had for the moment, at least, I'm sure we'll cover more of this next week, is if you have a paid account manager, SAS Core, get them involved, get them opening internal cases early in the process. If you start submitting external escalations, refer to the internal case. If you don't have the ID, refer to who created it, when they created it, and refer to the fact that there is an internal case
right,
or an internal escalation, and use that to your advantage, because otherwise, you're not taking the most advantage of
what you're paying for,
what's going on around you. And you're also failing to understand that you likely have to be the person who connects the dots, all of the dots, both externally and internally for Amazon teams, because they won't necessarily sit there, take the handful of minutes they need and do the proper thorough research and review of what they're supposed to be doing. Story for another time, another episode, but as usual, there doesn't seem to be a lot of QA or investigative review going on. People seem to take a lot of actions, especially extremely wrong actions, in a vacuum where no one's looking over their shoulder and no one's monitoring the quality of their work. We talk about this a lot. This is the time of year where these types of things really hurt.
Yeah, well, as we've talked about before, they only get in trouble if they reinstate when they shouldn't have, not when they deny reinstatement when they should have granted it.
There were, which I think we brought this up a couple of times, but there were a couple of random phone calls that our clients got that said, hey, we should have reinstated you sooner. What happened? Where did you appeal? Who called you? Who talked to you? So they did have a couple of like experimental QA cases, at least with our client, where somebody reached out and said, I'm sorry, we should have reinstated you sooner. I think those are just egregious cases where they saw how much money was lost, how many people fumbled it. If that were happening across the board, that would be really encouraging.
We also only saw that after it had been escalated. It's not like that was just done of their own volition.
Yes. So anyway, in the last 18 minutes, I've referred to two or three things that we base entire episodes on. We'll save that for another time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you start seeing weird, wacky stuff, put it in front of us. We'll be happy to take a look, and happy almost Prime Day.